I wasn't even thinking of 45 years ago. Brother Eddie mentioned it. His memory is better than mine. It's 45 years, and it's gone quickly. And we have many stories to tell, so many stories, all about how Jesus is so wonderful in other people's lives and in our own lives, too. He is wonderful, and he's done so much. And Brother Eddie mentioned, I said some things 2 years ago. I said these, yeah. So I think I know how to say it from memory. Uncle Hans, I call him Uncle Hans too, because we always knew he loved us. He was a very unusual minister, and I was born into the church there. Some people had to search, like Sister Pearl Young, her story, they had to search to find that wonderful fellowship with Jesus. She was in a wonderful background, a Scottish Presbyterian background. Then she served God in China under the China Inland Mission, Dai De Sheng. If I sometimes say things in Chinese, you have to excuse me, because sometimes my English isn't that good. I've spoken more Chinese in my life than English, definitely. And I'm thankful for that call of God that he led me there. Anyhow, I'm thankful for all that Jesus has done. And she had to search for this, and the Lord in a wonderful way led her to the Ridgewood Fellowship. And she said she knew in her heart that she was not abiding in Christ as she should. And it was because she found out she was not filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Holy Spirit works in us from the time we give our hearts to the Lord. And there in Ridgewood, she found that wonderful presence of Jesus that comes to us through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so her story you can read, but to make a long story short, this is what she wanted to bring back to the Chinese people, both in China and then later in Taiwan. And they went out from the camp. She was the cook at camp. In those days, the kitchen was right here, and the library was the dining room. And I was a waitress. We have one of our girls here, Anne. I was a waitress in May Humana, but it wasn't May Humana then. It was the dining room for the kids. And I was about 16 then, just like you. But I wasn't as grown up as she is. I was still a big kid. And I've been here since 9 years old at camp. Till now, and every year except the years I was in Taiwan, unless I came home on furlough. I love this place. I love this room because here at 11 years old, the Lord filled me with the Holy Spirit, and that breakthrough in my life brought me into that presence of Jesus and walking with him. And this afternoon, we're supposed to wait on the Lord, and in those days, since that time, I was filled with the Spirit. It just happened naturally. I didn't do anything special. But since then, when the palace was the dormitory then, and we loved swimming. I still love swimming. I haven't been swimming this year at all. But I wish the summer would start again so I could swim more. And we love swimming. But then I'd come back and I'd sit on that rock in front of the palace. And I said, Jesus, don't let anybody come now. I want to have fellowship with you. Who taught me that? That was waiting on the Lord. And nobody taught me that. It was from being in these meetings and that fellowship with Jesus. And that's the only way we all need more and more of that breakthrough to come into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's been many years now, but I want more of that because it's only Jesus that works. And I loved him then, back then, but today I love him so much more. And I've seen how he's worked. I've seen so many things that he's done, both for Chinese people, Sister Pearl Young, Elizabeth Lindau, and in our fellowship. And I saw Brother Eddie when he was born. Yeah, I saw you in the faith home. Everybody wanted to see the twins. And there was Brother Eddie and his sister Grace. Oh, we were so happy we had twins there. And your older sister, too. And now I'm so thrilled how the Lord uses him and comes to Taiwan. And we pray for him. It's wonderful what the Lord has done for him and his wife, Sister Susan. And this waiting on the Lord, we have, I think we can sing it in Chinese. We have a song. It's not in English, but we know it by heart. Dong Ho Yehohua Da Bi Tong Xin. It's Isaiah 40, the last verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I think we can sing it together, a few of us at least. We'll play it anyhow. The reason I have this keyboard is I wasn't blessed with a wonderful voice like Brother Eddie and other ministers. But I can lead with the organ, so we'll try. Taiwan, Brother Eddie's remembered, 1967. And when Brother Waffle prayed for me, you don't know me back then, I was very, very shy. People did not ever think I would go be a missionary. Gladys is shaking her head. She knew. And I was in high school. When I was in high school, I loved school, and we did well. But the subject I did not like was speech. That, to me, I wanted to run away whenever they had speech. And I had to go to a special class for speaking because my voice was so soft. It was after school. I had to go to this class, and they said, you have to speak from here, and had to learn how to speak. But I still spoke with a soft voice. And when I went to Taiwan, Sister Pearl Young said, you have to speak loud. We didn't have microphones in those days over there. And so we learned a little bit. And so I was a very shy person, and they wanted me to speak in the afternoon here in the lodge. No, it was the evening. And I locked myself in my room all afternoon. I don't think we had an afternoon meeting then, or most of the afternoon. And I prayed that Jesus would help me. It was such a horrible thing to speak publicly. And Jesus helped me. And then they prayed for me, and it was as if Uncle Hans, when he laid hands on me and then on my shoulders, it was like he put a rod of steel into my spine. And he said many precious things. He said, never get to think you are important, but always think that Jesus is important. And the one important thing in your life is to abide in him. no matter what others do, no matter what calls come to you, you be one that abides in him and finds this place of in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And those words went into my heart. And I'm sure it's his prayers, those prayers that they prayed then that helped me all along. Sometimes there are hard things, that's true. But it's mostly how wonderful Jesus is and what he does. And I'm so thankful for the privilege of being with those Chinese people first in Gozhiko in Taiwan and learning Chinese, of course. I had to go to school every day to learn Chinese. If you look, I still have those books where I had to learn the characters. And but Sister Pearl said every night the meetings I had to go to. She said, you have to come to the meeting. So I did. And I'm so thankful for every meeting we go to because Jesus comes to us. It's his presence. And even if you go to the meeting, that's why I don't like to miss a meeting. Even if you're sick or even, I know the Lord has different ways of leading, but in my life at least, even if I'm sick or tired and I go, you come out of that meeting, you're rejuvenated. You get new life. It's better than eating vitamins, taking vitamins. You get new life in every meeting because Jesus is there. I've seen it again and again. And I always after the meeting, I say, I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I was there in the presence of Jesus, especially these meetings where we seek Jesus and where he becomes real to us. And I thank him for that. And then in Taiwan, Sister Pearl was a wonderful person. Well, we should only say Jesus is wonderful, but Jesus in her was wonderful. And the way the Lord led her, and it was in the early, I was there in 67, then the early 70s, the Lord started to work among young people. So many young people came in. Jishifunze, those are the intellectuals, and those from college, they were searching for something one by one. And then they became our workers. There's so many of them. We have about 24, 25 churches there and here also in the States. And the Lord has done, we've seen him do wonderful works. And it's all because, I'm trying to speak in Chinese again. When we see what God did through Brother Hans Walfogel and then through the other ministers, Brother Edwin and Brother Gordon and their wives, and what he's done, then what he did for Sister Pearl and Sister Elizabeth, that light just shone, and it has to continue to shine. And in every meeting, Sister Pearl made an effort. She said she has faith over the meeting that the Lord will lead us into that presence. And often we'd be in his presence, that quiet waiting on him. And one time I had been in an accident in a car somebody else drove, and it was quite bad. For a week I was in pain. That I was still very young, and I had to get up in the morning, just gradually roll out of bed. But that morning again, I went to the meeting. We had pump organs then. And suddenly the presence of Jesus was so wonderful, so precious. You just were taken away in him, here too, in Pilgrim Camp and in Ridgewood and other places. And that morning I left the meeting and I was healed. It was right in the presence of Jesus. That spine, that leg, one leg seemed shorter than the other from this accident. And that morning I walked out of that place. I said to the lady, I think I'm better. I went up to my room and I tried every position and I could do everything. The next day, somebody gave me back in America an accordion, so function, and that heavy accordion, I could carry it. We went on the bus up in the mountains, and that village there was the first time they heard about Jesus. In those days, Taiwan was different. Now it's very, very modern and beautiful. But it was nice then, too. I liked it then, too. And from that day on, I never had trouble again. Jesus healed it, right in that presence of Jesus. So how precious it is in the meetings that Jesus comes to us. And there's so many stories. I don't want to tell stories. But all these stories are glorifying Jesus and what he's done for us. And there's, this year, the Lord gave us a verse. Usually, he gives us a verse. And usually by Thanksgiving, I know what the verse is for the Zion churches. And this year, it was Romans 15:13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In Taiwan, in Chinese, it's Dan Yuan Shi Ren Yo Pan Wang De Shen Yin Xin Jiang Chu Ban De Xi La Ping An Cheng Man Nim De Xin Shi Ni Men Jie Zhe Sheng Ning De Neng Li Da Yo Pan Wang. And that verse has become so precious to us through this year. But there's another verse in the 14th chapter that has become precious, and it's, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. And last night when I came, and Brother Eddie started talking about that subject, the promises. Oh, I sat up and I thought, how wonderful, because the Lord already gave us the verse for next year. He gave it to us ahead of time. And last Sunday, the people said, oh, we want to know what the verse is. And so I told them. And that verse is in 2 Peter 1, whereby are given unto us, here it is, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I thought, we just mentioned that, right? The last Sunday they were there, and our friend, and the Lord wants us to think about the promises. And we heard such wonderful sermons last night and today, all about the promises. Oh, it's so we're going to, and there was a book by the organ, 199 Promises. I think there's more yet in the Bible. And so we want to think about the promises. The promises, we have to believe. The commandments, we have to obey. So it's obeying and believing, and how wonderful that God has given us these promises. But getting back to Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Recently, after our prayer meeting ends, we usually end with saying the Lord's Prayer, Judah one. And there we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. When did his kingdom start? On the day of Pentecost. And we all have to experience that, because he wants to rule and reign in our lives through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He gives us equipment, and he does something for us that we can obey these commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And so when we pray, thy kingdom come, and here it says, we know the Gospels, it says, the kingdom of God is within us. It's within us. Jesus revealing himself, he's our king. And it's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then the following verse, "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." And so we want to serve him in these things, in righteousness. We have none of our own, but he does it. He is our righteousness and joy and peace. And if some days we're sad, we're not serving him. We have to keep happy all the time. So in our church in Woodhaven, they all know by heart, "I'm so happy," and here's the reason why, that song, Woods and Quila, yeah. And I found out the more you follow Jesus, the older you get, the happier you are. I found that out. And it's because we had that verse 1 year, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." And that year, every day, the Lord reminded me of that verse. My brother died that year, my loving brother Paul. And he was a good friend. We were good friends. And I went to his funeral. Of course, I cried. I followed his casket to the cemetery. I cried. And that night I said, "Jesus, how can I delight myself now in you? How can I be happy? My brother's gone." He talked to me sometimes an hour on the phone. But Jesus said, "You still can delight yourself in me because I'm the best one that can comfort you." And he did. My brother's in glory now. But Jesus really comforted me. He also comforted my sister-in-law, who is Susan's aunt. Well, the Dime, in Chinese we say Dime. He comforted her, and she's a baby nurse. And after my brother died, God gave her son triplets. And she could take care of three little, they're five or going on six now. And Jesus comforted her too. And he has a wonderful way of comforting us. And so I found out through saying that verse every day that year, I got happier and happier. And it really is a wonderful way with Jesus. And so we can serve him by being joyful. The Bible is full of joy and peace. And if we don't have that peace and joy, we're not serving him, but he wants to help us. I know he's helped all of us. And want to wait on the Lord, but maybe I should give a short testimony of what Jesus did for us this year. Should I do that? And every day I wake up and thank Jesus because he really did something very, very precious. I never had an idea of starting a church here in New York, but my father died, and my mother needed care, and my two brothers and sister couldn't do it, so I was supposed to do it. But I had this call for Taiwan, and I can't lay that down. That's why I go all the time. This year, I'll be soon going again the fourth time. I have to be, the Lord's put that in my heart. Sister Pearl wanted me to do that. I never wanted to leave Taiwan. I never wanted to come back to the States. I wanted to live there and serve the Lord till I go to heaven. But the Lord had other plans and brought me back and taking care of my mother. And she went with me. She was a good missionary. She went with me at 90 years of age. Seven times she made a trip to Taiwan. And she used to always be, she'd either call me in German, "Gerda, wo bin ich?" "Gerda, where am I?" Her eyesight wasn't good. Or else she'd call out loud, "Hallelujah," in German. And now I'm doing the same. I'm not saying, "Gerda, where am I?" But I find out as I get older, I'm always saying "Hallelujah." I have to be careful sometimes not to say it in a public place. But she went with me, and then I took care of her. And we lived right near by the Faith Home, across the street from the Faith Home. And I missed my Chinese friends so much. So if I saw a Chinese lady on the street while I was sweeping or cutting the grass, I'd talk to them. And then they were so surprised I could talk Chinese. So I'd invite them in and their children. I used to say to my sister, I'm going fishing again. I'd go fishing for boys and girls, Chinese boys. Then we started a meeting for them and in my house. And that's how the church started. And so until my house is very small, the house that belonged to my parents, we had 40 people in the house and the children in the basement. And then we went to someone else's basement, which was larger. Then we went to, the Lord opened the way. We rented a church nearby. But that church was full of baimai, termites. So, and then we, someone had the opportunity we could be in Flushing, in Korean Gensor Clinic, and we could use the basement on Sundays, and we had to move the tables and chairs. But we were very happy there. And, of course, all our folks liked being in Flushing. So I automatically thought we'll be in Flushing the rest of our time. Or else if we get something more permanent, it'll be in Flushing. So I never thought of coming back to Woodhaven, although our church's name is Woodhaven's Chinese Zion Church. So what happened last year, October? We had a Waiting on God meeting, and a few of our people were there, not many. And one of our ladies had a broken ankle, and it was just getting better. She was using a walker. And all of a sudden, one of our ladies said, let's go and look at that house on the corner. She said she went there, but it's too big. And so I knew it wasn't anything for our people, because they didn't want to be in Woodhaven. So we went there, and they loved it. And they said, oh, boy, this is great. And the next day, they got more of our people to go, and you were there, too, yeah. And more. And then Sunday, they were there and looked at the place, and they went through the house, and everybody loved it. And everybody said, oh, we'd like to have, but we didn't have that much money. We had some money saved. And when we asked the people, everybody wanted this place and thought it would be good for us. But there were a lot of little details. We didn't know if we could have meetings there. All of this we had to find out. And we didn't have that money. So one of our ladies said, I'm going to lend you $500,000. The house was $750,000. And it's 100 feet by 100 feet. And she said, I'm going to give you a loan, 3%, 30 years, $500,000. So we were all set. You know, we could pay that off by the time I was 100 or so. And we were very happy. And so there are a lot of details. And then the broker lady, she was very good. She said, there's another group that wants this place. We didn't know what group it was. And I didn't ask her. But then things went through. We put first a down payment, $1,000. Then the 10th, $75,000. Then I said to her, who is the other? Oh, we had to have a proof of the money. And we had the proof. The other group didn't have. They were first for the house. But they didn't have the proof yet, but we got the proof. We could show them in papers. And behind the scenes, I was doing all this. And somehow, everything had to go quickly, and the Lord helped us. And then I asked her, who is this other group? What kind of a group is it? And you know who it was? The Muslims. And they were going to build right near the Faith Home. They were going to tear down that house and build a mosque. And I didn't say anything to her because I didn't know if she was a Muslim, but she wasn't. And then all through that block, all our neighbors knew about the Muslims wanted this house. And they were all against, you know, they were afraid this was going to happen. I didn't know, Brother Eddie didn't know, Sister Moni, Susan, none of us knew. And then when they heard we are getting that house, one man came to me like this. He said, thank you. They were happy. That was Joe. And another lady, she's in politics and knows a lot of influential people, lives across the street from Moni. And she said, oh, I'm so happy they're getting that house. We're from the Ridgewood Church. And they know the Ridgewood Church. And they were so happy, she said, any difficulty they have will help them. Remember she said that, yeah. And so we were glad about that. To think that the Lord, we didn't know about it. Only Jesus knew. He didn't want the Muslims to get that property because then there would be other difficulties, you know. And so we had the 10%. And then a few days later, the newspaper, the Chinese newspaper, but it was in the English paper too. One of my ladies, Mrs. Happy, she said, oh, you know what happened? The clinic place where we were, it was Korean, they were Christians, Koreans. He was a dentist and a doctor there. They were closed down by the FBI because of money business with Medicare or something. And the other group that was using it, they got out of there right away. We couldn't use it anymore. And so we were so surprised. Jesus prepared us to get this house. We didn't know about the Muslims. We didn't know about the FBI coming and closing that place. This was all, everything was Jesus doing this. Every little step, there are more details. And so then we quickly the next Sunday got everything packed up in someone's garage. We had lots of stuff. And then Brother Eddie let us use the basement in Ridgewood Sunday mornings for a few weeks. And on December 20th, that's when we had the closing. And then the next Sunday was December 25th. On Christmas Day, we were like dreaming. In that, remember, we all had tears in our eyes to think that house belonged to us from Jesus. He did this. He has so many surprises, but that's not the end of the story. I went to Taiwan for the winter camp in January, and I got there, I was sick, very sick. 3 days I slept, that's not me. 3 days without and no eating. And the camp had to begin already. That never happened before. And I said, it'll never happen again. and the third day I went to the camp, and at the night meeting, I was still very sick. It's winter there at that time, but I was completely drenched after the meeting. And I told the story about this house. I thought it was so wonderful. I wasn't thinking about money or anything. I thought we're all set. Till I'm 100 years old, we're all set, this house. And so I told them this story, how wonderfully Jesus provided. And the next day, a lady comes. I didn't even know her. There's about 500 people in the meeting. And she knew me, though, from many years, even from Canada, she had been there. All Chinese, of course. She says, I want to give you $500,000. I thought I missed. I didn't understand. So I wrote it down. I said, you mean this? Yes, I want to give you $500,000 for that house. But she said I'd have to wait till April, the end of April. Yeah, her money was in Canada, but she wants to give that. She feels God wants her to do that. Oh, I could hardly believe it, and I didn't want to tell anybody because if it would get back to her. But when I came back from Taiwan, the first meeting I told the people, they were anxious to know. I told them. The next day it was broadcast in Taiwan. With all the email and everything, I was a little concerned. And then I never talked about it again. And what happens? April comes. Sure enough, she contacts me. We want to get this money to you. And so she sent it in. Oh, one other thing I forgot. Ken and Wendy, who are here now serving the Lord with us, they're my co-workers from Taiwan many years, and we had ordained them years ago. They had called me the beginning of September. They were in California, and they said, we really have to pray about our future. And I said, okay, we'll pray for you. We couldn't offer them anything because we had no house for them to live. And then when this opportunity came for this house, I called them. I said, you want to come and live here? We needed somebody to live in the house. And it had to be an ordained minister. You couldn't just put anyone there because it's a church home. And you can have meetings there. And she was beside herself because she loves camp. And she loves the meetings. And she loves Ridgewood and seeking the Lord. And they had gone through some bad things in Taiwan. Very, not nice. They were mistreated. And the Lord rewarded them. And they're with us now. They're just in California now with their children. But they're coming back. And then what happened? The letter came. I told that post lady, there's a letter coming, a registered letter. I didn't tell her what was in it. And I get this, she says, I have the letter for you from Taiwan. And I took it into the kitchen. I thought, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe it's not 500,000, maybe 50,000. But I opened it up, and sure enough, I never in my life had seen a check for $500,000. And there it was, with our church name on it. And I called the lady that loaned us that money, one of our ladies. I said, it came. And it's right. It's true. $500,000. She said, take it to the bank right away. So that day I took it to the bank. That was June 14th, I think. Oh, no, June 8th. I took it right away to the bank. And they said it would have to be processed because it's from another country. It came from Canada. The check was in Canadian, not Canadian money, American money, but from Canada. And it took 3 or 4 weeks. And in June, just before I went to Taiwan, June 18th, the week before, the check was cleared. We could pay back that loan, and Shu Ying's husband was glad to get the money back. She told me he had some project he was in. So we could settle it with the lawyer, and I went to Taiwan. And one of our ladies, Mrs. Happy, she drew a beautiful picture and put a photograph of our church people in the front. And I carried that in my suitcase. And then in Taiwan, I took a bus and carried that thing to Taichung, that's central Taiwan, and brought it to this lady. And she was so happy. And that's not the end of the story. Then the next Sunday, I was in Taichung to lead the meeting there and to speak. And after the meeting, she was in the church there. She came to me and said, I want to talk to you alone. So she got the minister, who was Wendy's brother, David, who interprets for you. And the lady came. She pulls out another check. And she said she's not rich. She said she isn't rich. But she gave me another check for $50,000. And she said, this is for renovation of the church. And so now we started the renovation because the check was, we could have started earlier, but there were some details we had to go, because the whole house, the electricity had to be completely done over, and a lot of other things. And the check was for August 14th. So August 14th, I put it in the bank. It takes a few weeks to clear. It'll take a few weeks. So I could hardly believe this. I still can hardly believe it, what Jesus did for us. And that he's given us that house to worship him, and where he can manifest his presence and come, just as he gave us this camp. Brother Hans Walfogel, it was he that was the founder of this place. And how many people have found Jesus here and still find Jesus and are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so you can't blame me for every day getting up and thanking Jesus. I think the rest of my life I will do that. I feel humbled. Who are we to be so blessed by Jesus? And we want to do our best. I never had planned on having a church. I wanted to stay in Taiwan, but now we go back and forth. So I thought, that story I have to tell you. And it all honors Jesus. And so you can understand that now, 45 years later, I think Jesus is even more wonderful. And he is in your life too. He will provide and he will lead. But more important than that, we can't be happy just because of the house. Of course we are. But one day in Taiwan, there was a lady, an older lady, who had trouble with her eyes. She was over 80 in one of our outstations. And on Sunday, suddenly, in the meeting, her eyes were healed. And she went to the eye doctor. He said, they're not only good, they're as good as a young person. And she didn't even have what we call in Chinese, lao hua yan, you know, when you get older, you need glasses like this for reading. She didn't even have that. He said, your eyes are not only better, but they're like a young child. That's so good. So naturally, the next Sunday, all the people in the church, they were so happy about her eyes being healed. And you know what Sister Pearl said? She said, of course she was happy too, but she said, I never saw you so happy and thrilled about Jesus and his presence as you are for this healing. Of course we're happy about the healing, but she said, we have something greater than any healing. We have Jesus with us moment by moment. And so even with this house, we're happy. But the greatest thing is having Jesus all the time and having his joy and his peace. And it comes through waiting on the Lord. And I believe one of the ministers, I think Uncle Hans Swan said, every meeting, it's a minister's job to lead the people into that fellowship with Jesus. We can't do it, but the Lord can do it. He can bring it. He can work miracles. He's so wonderful and so precious. And so let's sing a song and take time to wait on the Lord and get quiet in our hearts. And Sister Pearl would say, Anjing ni de shen ti, anjing ni de shin, your physical being to become still. Only Jesus can do it. And your heart. A lot of thoughts come to us and we think things, but all of a sudden you notice Jesus comes and he holds you in his presence. I told a little story on Wednesday in the Wednesday morning meeting. It was about Sister Moni was in that meeting. I was in Taiwan, but I heard this story that there was a meeting on a Wednesday with Uncle Hans was there, and maybe I think Brother Edwin also. And a minister came in, a very famous person. I don't know who it is, who it was, but a very, very famous person. And he came into that meeting, and that meeting was almost all silence. Almost all silence. And after the meeting, I guess some thought, what is this famous minister going to think about a meeting like this? And after the meeting, he said, this is just what I needed. And it's what we all need, to be still in his presence. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And not only in our groups, but I've heard testimonies of others. I heard this testimony of a young girl. Her father was sick, and she had to take care of him. And she had to earn money. They weren't well off financially. And so she took in students for piano. And she had maybe, I think I heard, at least 40 students every week to her house to teach them piano. And meanwhile, taking care of her father, doing the wash, the laundry, cooking for him, and everything that's involved in the home. And one day she was tired. She was still young. And she said, well, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So she asked her neighbor to come in and watch her father for a while. And she went into the room and waited in silence on the Lord. We can do it in our homes, but when we're together, it's even more precious because we bring the presence of Jesus with us and we're reminded that he's here. And she did that alone. And then she knew it was okay. She came out of the room. She had new strength, new energy, new love for Jesus. She said, you can go home now. I can do it. And a few minutes later, the doorbell rang. And there was her brother with all his children. She had to cook a dinner for him. And the brother said to his sister, you look so good. You look as if you had 2 weeks vacation. And she knew the secret, what it was. And that's what we need to, as Isaiah, let's read that verse in Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, let's read it together. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And so we need it every day, every day. And you find, we had those meetings in Taiwan 5 times a year. We had waiting on God. That's why I go back so often, because they want to continue this waiting on God. And often people would come, they weren't used to this. When we went to Taiwan back then in 67, there were no other churches that would praise the Lord. We were about the only place in Taiwan that praised the Lord, that would, after we sing, to praise the Lord. But now a lot of the churches praise the Lord. And also this waiting on God, that was very rare. It was very rare. I would go with Sister Pearl first all over Taiwan. People would invite other churches, and I accompanied her and played the piano or organ. And then we went to the Philippines and also to Hong Kong. And most people, it was easier to learn to praise the Lord. But this silent waiting on God, that was hard. They weren't used to that. But slowly they began to treasure it. And remember these weeks of prayer we had in Gotoku and Gungguan, two places there at first. Some people would come, they'd look at their watch, 5 minutes. Oh, it was a long time already, 5 minutes. But all of a sudden, Jesus comes and just takes you. And you're sitting there, you're lost in him. That's what he does, just like the song, shut in with thee, O Lord, forever. And he shuts us in with himself. He does something for us that not only when we're shut in meetings, he does that when wherever we are, we're shut in with him and in that fellowship with him. And you find out sometimes you're just at the right place at the right time. You didn't do it. It was Jesus. It's because we take time to be with him. And he does that all the time. One lady, we were in Hong Kong. She was a cute lady. She wore these high heels, and she could play the piano, very high heels. And she was the secretary in the church, and it was a ladies' meeting. And then when it got quiet, she thought, they're all wasting their time. So she got up, and clack, 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 she went to her office and did her office work in the church. But all of a sudden, she thought, maybe they're right. So she came back, and she started to wait on the Lord. Then afterwards, she testified. And her testimony was, that she at first put the horse's carriage in the front and the horse behind the carriage. But now she knows you have to put the horse in the front and the carriage in the back. She says, now I know what it is to wait on the Lord. And her life was changed. And so many have testified that. And that's what Jesus is calling each one of us to this life hidden with him, and that he might do the work. We want to do the work, but we find out it's no good. But when Jesus does it, if we had gone ahead and tried to buy a house ahead of time, it would have been a failure. But thank God, he had his time and his purpose. And everybody testified. They want me to write this story. I don't know if I can write it that well. But everyone says Jesus did this. It's all his. He did this whole thing. And he wants to do everything. And so now we want, I don't want to talk so long. I talked long enough. But we want, dear Jesus, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all that you've done for each one of us. We thank you for this call of God over each one of our lives to wait on you, to let you do the work, to let you go ahead, that we might be pleasing to you, Lord. And we pray, O Lord, that you'll do it for each one of us. If some are here that are not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you will fill them. Give us a greater hunger and thirst for yourself, Lord. And if we're filled already many years, we still want to hunger and thirst after you and be more filled with you, because you are so precious and so mighty. And we give you all the glory in your name. Amen.